Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Wonderful. Well, I just thought it's such an honoring and a wonderful thing to remember all the soldiers who did give the ultimate sacrifice so many years ago so that we could be free, so that we could be living in this country with the freedoms that we enjoy today, and such a right thing to do. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about, obviously, the story of Jesus giving his life for us, making that ultimate sacrifice at just the tender age of 33, sent by God to do that. And I thought about this recently when I was with somebody who's a dear friend, and they've got a medical condition that's serious. And when you love somebody, you are tempted to think the thought, like, if only I could have their sickness on me and they didn't have to go through this. Especially with your own children, right? You sometimes think, oh, I wish this kid didn't have to go through this. I wish somehow I could take it off them and have their pain, their sickness, so they didn't have to go through that. And that's a legitimate thought, because there is somehow a spiritual transaction called intercession. And Jesus also thought that, but he didn't just leave it at thinking about it. He actually did it. He did come and he did take our pain, our sickness, our sorrows, our griefs upon him, and did die with those so that we could let it go. And I sometimes think we get too comfortable in our own negativity. Sometimes we hold on to things that we should let go. And church is that beautiful opportunity every week where we can unload a whole bunch of cares and frustrations to God and find transformation and refreshing life coming into our soul. This last week, I received a letter after the magnificent Crowned Women's Conference by my wife, and Bernie doing such a good job celebrating 20 years. And this letter started like, how do I start writing about all the seasons and the turnaround of my life in the last 8 years? And how do I say how immensely thankful I am to God, to C3 Church and C3 College. I'm thankful to be planted in the church through all seasons. I came to church as a single mum and so broken, looking for hope and restoration. In 2009, at C3 Presence Conference, my life changed when Pastor Phil prayed for me and God took away my depression. I then went to C3 College to figure out who God is and how I can walk as a woman of God. C3 College was the ground where I grew and surrendered to God. Like a spiritual operating table where God showed me the things I was carrying and the part of me that was a victim. I was coming from domestic violence in Venezuela. God challenged me to step out, to believe and to trust him, and it was a journey to trust him first. I felt that God said to me, whatever you don't give to me, your daughter will carry. Fears, bitterness, unforgiveness and shame. C3 Church has become a big family for me through connect groups and journeying with fantastic people in different seasons of life. Amanda, my daughter, eagerly wanted a father. When I said, God is your father, she replied, he cannot cuddle me. In between tears, I responded after crying and praying. Yes, he does, I told her, through his people. With every hug and every kiss you receive, it is his love for you. I saw her grow up in church thinking, everybody loves me, Mum, she said. Then I married an amazing holy man, Stephen Thomas, who showed me what love looks like and melts my heart every time I see his relationship with Amanda. He was an answer to my prayers. I'm so thankful to you, Pastor Chris and Pastor Phil. You're amazing leaders, and we are blessed because you've walked the journey first. To all the leaders and pastors in the church, especially Pam Borrow and Sherilyn Bucknell, who walked through all of these seasons with me, I just wanted to say I am crowned with much more than I deserve, and I walk in victory today because of you, Pastor Phil and Chris, and all the team of C3. The best lesson is the miracle is in the surrender and waiting on God in faith. Thank you for this house. It is open, free, and a safe place. For this, I'm able to be transformed today. God is faithful, and he put me in the amazing family of C3. Amen. How good is that? Everything we do is for that. Just those one stories of people who are transformed. Stand up, Stephen and Anton. Yeah. So good. This is that couple. Anto Dubuck Thomas. Yes, so nice to have you here. And what a beautiful story. And it is amazing when people surrender to God. We have a few people in our world around us all the time who, you know, are struggling with that. All of us do. We face those moments where we wonder, should I really give in to the Lord or should I not? Listen to me. Surrender. Give up. Give it over. He's got such a great life for you, and you can't discover it until you actually trust him with that life. I want to talk today in this very first theme message for 3 weeks in the it's Spirit and Truth is the message that we're doing today called True Worship. And as we embark on this, it's in a lead up to that magnificent night in December sometime. Does anybody know when it is, a worship night? Yeah, that's right. You got it. The 2nd of December. It's on a Sunday night. Sunday night. Not Saturday or Monday. Sunday night. And it starts at 5:30. I know they said 6, but no, it starts at 5:30. So you come and get hamburgers and everything else and what spiritual worship food that helps you just stay standing for a little while. And then we come in here and we just provide such a magnificent atmosphere in which you can. Now, I know that for some of you, it's like, what? Church twice on Sunday? Yeah, have a go. It's incredible. And you'll find it's just an amazing experience of entering into the presence of God and discovering. And if you're watching online anywhere around Australia, come, be part of that night. Such a dynamic moment and encounter with God. And what happens when we come into that spirit of worship, we encounter God. That is the environment that you will come face to face with the Almighty God. Jesus said in John 4, 23 to 24, the hour is coming. And this was 2,000 years ago. He said, there is an hour, and we are in that hour on this earth when worship will rise to dimensions and arenas that we have never experienced before. Literally, heaven on earth, the sense of heaven on earth. He says the hour is coming, and now is. It's always available for you when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. True worship isn't just saying a bunch of words and hoping that somehow they have an effect. That's called superstition. Genuine worship is when the heart feels what you're singing, when the spirit is actually regenerated in the presence of God, and when you are conscious and intelligent of that, the fact of what you're singing is truth, it's realities. He says the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is looking for people who will actually worship him in this way. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So coming into the world of worship ushers you into the world of the Holy Spirit. That is a dimension that God has designed for every human to live in. Your whole being has been wired together to be filled and charged with the Holy Spirit. I got a subtitle for this message. It's called Recharge. Everything on earth fits into the systems that God has arranged. One of them, and there are hundreds of these systems, like in your own body, you have a respiratory system. You have a nervous system. You have all of these, a digestive system. You have, God has arranged that there's an ecosystem. There are things that interrelate and correlate and depend on one another. Well, you also have a spiritual system, and every living thing has the system, and that is that everything needs fuel to survive. Everything needs to refuel because we use up the fuel. And a lot of you here today and a lot of us in the world are living at a really depleted level. Some of you are running on fumes. There's no real gas in the tank. Church, every week for you in the worship time is when you get gas in your tank. You get petrol in your motor. Now, let me talk to you for a moment about a word called Sabbath. It's an old word. It's one maybe we don't even understand what it means. Well, God, when he made the world, 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Not because he's exhausted, just because he had finished. And he'd completed the work of creation. So he's resting. He thought, this is so good. I'm going to make this day holy. I'm going to make it different to all the other days. All the other days you can go to work on, but this day is separate. On this day, everybody gets to recharge. Because everybody has got to, you got to get recharged. Otherwise, you're running on the bottom of the barrel. You're scratching the bottom of your emotions. It's so important that God made it number 4 in the 10 commandments. All the other commandments are about others, and they're pretty serious commandments. It's up there with, you shall not murder. Take a day off. And possibly if you took a day off, you wouldn't be so close to murdering people. The commandments like are just about for everybody else and God. This one, it seems like it's for us. It's a command. How good is God? Huh? If you were the boss and you could get people to work every day, you'd probably do it. But not God. He says, I could get you working forever. Because I'm God and you're the people. But he says, I command you. Take a day off. You get yourself into a holy place of worship. Get yourself into church and rest. And when you go home in the afternoon, give yourself permission to snooze, to take a nap. Go on, go home and go to sleep. How much better are you going to feel at 5 o'clock when you come back to church? Amen. How much are you going to feel? How much better are you going to feel when you just relax? Do you know it takes more faith to not work than to work? Now, I'm a Protestant, baby. I believe in the Protestant work ethic. I'm a worker. I'm a workhorse. I love working. For me to find the stop gear is not always easy. But I make myself because I know at the end of that break, I will have thought about things. I will feel regenerated, rejuvenated. And if I can get myself into the presence of God, instead of thinking, if I'm a real estate agent, man, if I don't work on Sunday, I'm going to lose so many deals. If I don't just keep on working. Endless working is so de-energizing. It's so discouraging. That is why when we ask for volunteers and we say, could you volunteer to be a Connect Group leader? And the question might be, well, for how long do we do that? We don't say, forever. It just never ends. You know, it's going to be right away, the energy goes out of that idea. But if you say something like 3 months, or you say 6 months, or say a year, suddenly when I can see the end, I feel energized at the beginning. And every week we're meant to have the sense that by Friday, there's a stop date. I can work for 6, boom, I'm going to stop on that day. I'm not going to just keep on going and going and going and going and going. In the New Testament, Sabbath is not like a day. It's like a condition. It's like you no longer have to work for your salvation. Now you can rest in the finished work of Jesus and you're saved. And so you enter into a place of working out of rest, not just working to rest. You walk relaxed. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit who empowers you. It's called power-assisted living. Hey, can you remember, are any of you old enough to remember when you had to turn that steering wheel and you had a big pair of Town and Country tires on there and you had biceps that were as big as your thighs because you were working that wheel all the time? And I mean, most of the wives just gave up parking that thing. They just park it 3 miles away if they had to, just because turning their wheel. But how good was it, people, when somebody came along with power-assisted steering? And now you sit in your big truck and you just go with your little finger. You go, there, I'm going to park. That is exactly the difference between a Christianity that does not have the power of the Holy Spirit and a Christianity that does. You're going to find yourself with power-assisted living. And you are able, when you have recharged and refueled, you'll be living the life and doing the things that you know you want to do and could do. You're going to be doing it so much easier. Not by works, but by grace. When you walk in faith, when you walk in the presence of God, that Holy Spirit power is going to assist you to accomplish all the things that God's asked you. He doesn't ask you to dig a hole and not give you a shovel. He doesn't ask you to build a house and not give you a team. God is not going to ask you to do things that frustrate you, that exasperate you, because they're beyond your ability. He will, with the command, give you the ability and the power to fulfill everything that He is asking you to do. If you will come into that place and get recharged, you'll find it works. I mean, you all got a phone in your pocket or somewhere on you today. That thing is wonderful, but it's useless if its battery is flat. And you see that thing going down, you get it down to 10%, it's going up, low battery, recharge, plug it in, and you think, oh, I can get a few more out of it, and boom, it's gone. And people are trying to contact you, God's trying to talk to you, you got other deals, and you can't, because the thing isn't charged up. Your spirit is your communication center with heaven. And he wants you in a position where he can talk and communicate. And listen to me, one word in the house of God can be life transforming, can transform a relationship, transform a circumstance, can be a $1 million thought. The psalmist says, one day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And it can take faith sometimes to just stop. Those Israelites had to go up to Passover and Pentecost in Jerusalem for 6 weeks. They would make this long journey and God would say, have faith that while you're gone, everything in your business and your farm will all be okay. And there's not one record in history of animals being stolen, crops being destroyed, when the Israelites were giving attention to God and honoring Him. He looked after their back, the things they would be worried about and thinking they needed to look after. Isaiah 40 verse 28, magnificent verse. Have you not known? This is Isaiah said, this might be a point that you haven't quite realized. Have you not heard? Has nobody told you? The everlasting God never runs out of energy. The Lord, the creator of all of the earth, He doesn't give up and He never gets weary. Never gets weary. His understanding is unsearchable. You can't reach the end of it. So when I come into the presence of the Lord, I am tapping into, please, Google's like a little thesaurus compared to God's mind. Google doesn't know everything, people. Not even close. And even Siri gets it wrong. The fact is, when you tune into a mind that has no end, a mind that can comprehend every blade of every grass on every field, every word on every book in every library, every thought in every mind of every human being, that mind, this great swirling ability to capture every possible thing. There's not one thing that God is unaware of. He has a thing called omniscience, far beyond anything that our capacity has. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. If we will not put ourselves in that position, He can't get through. But when we say, I'm going to stop working out to try and make my life saved, to try and figure out my world, I'm going to rest and put myself in the presence of the Lord and let myself get illuminated with a mind that has no end to it, an understanding that is unsearchable. He says He gives power to the weak. How does He do this? And to those who have the might, He increases strength. You're feeling weak, you're feeling like you're not strong enough, He's got it for you. Even young people will faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew strength. That word renew in some translations is exchange. So I'm giving Him mine and He's given me His. My strength is nothing. It fades real quick. His never fades. Not even the Energizer battery is in competition with this kind of everlasting energy. This never, ever stops. This is the energy that is eternal. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Three states of progress, and every one of them, you're going to find yourself successful in continually progressing forward. The second part of this statement, they will worship me in spirit, like from the heart. They'll worship me in the Holy Spirit. They'll find a song created in their soul that they'll sing all week long and cause you to walk in that beautiful place of rest where you can hear from God. But the second part is truth. They'll worship me in spirit and in truth. You know, all of us have facts in our lives that are a little negative. For some of you might be hugely negative. You might have facts about your medical situation, about your finances. And you've got them staring at you on the piece of paper. You might have facts about relationships, facts about family, facts about circumstances that are quite negative. But you need to know that we're not worshiping God in spirit and facts. We're worshiping God in spirit and truth. And truth always trumps facts. I'm not asking you to deny. I'm not asking you to deny the reality of the facts, but I want you to tune into a higher reality. There is another reality which you cannot see with these eyes. You cannot see with these eyes. So there comes a point where you got to switch your faith on, people, and you need to say, okay, I'm going to start visualizing a different circumstance. I'm going to see this circumstance completely changed. In my mind, in my imagination, your imagination is the most powerful creative force you've got on the inside of you. And when you switch it on, you'll find it gives you energy. You'll recharge in a second. And one of the best places for that to happen is to come to a church that's going to preach to you faith and put the truth of God inside your soul. Because it's at that moment you'll find, because you took a day off and you went to get recharged, you're not dragging along on all that negativity. Negativity is so de-energizing, but it's so delicious. It's like a big warm coat on a freezing cold day. And then along comes some positive preaching and he's trying to take it off me. No, I want my depressing overcoat and I want to cuddle up in my bed and just be miserable because that's kind of, and I'm saying, get off the bed, take off the coat and say, you know what? I'm going to start believing. I'm going to start believing and I'm going to get off this thing. Because we can justify so much bad behavior because of the negative things. But once you say, no, I'm going to live above it all. You know what you're going to justify? Victorious living. You're going to justify living with a joyful spirit. When you start to say, I'm going to believe, I'm going to start seeing a different circumstance at the end of my life. I'm going to stop blaming God. I'm going to start praising God. Instead of confessing how bad it is, I'm going to say, it's good. all things are working together for good. I refuse to let bad things come out of my mouth. Sometimes I slip up, but my Lord, I've got a guard on my mouth, a couple of soldiers here. I cannot afford to let them out. Because as soon as I start speaking like that and thinking like that, I lose energy. And it'll be exactly the same for you. You're walking along feeling pretty good. And somebody says something to you that's negative. You should have heard about this. And then you think about it. Instantly, your shoulders sag, right? Instantly, you're round-shouldered. And you're kicking along and you want to just give up. And you think, that's how powerful negativity is. And there is, the whole world is trying with that darkness to overwhelm you with doubt, anxiety, fears. But you have the power inside of you to switch on a thing called faith. And you can say in this service, instead of worshiping God in spirit and with a few facts, I'm going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to praise Him for giving me victory. I'm going to praise Him for healing my life. I'm going to praise Him for providing all that I need. I'm going to start worshiping God in the truth of Scripture. And if I can just get you to say today, I'm going to actually come aside and be in that place of recharging, that I'm going to find that we actually get into a whole new world. The Holy Spirit is the origin of life and the Word of God. John 6, verse 63, Jesus says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. You come into church and you feel rejuvenated and recharged, and some fuel has gotten in the tank. Then you go through your week and it takes a beating, takes a battering. You find yourself just declining, declining. And you know, that's why church is here. That's why Connect Group is in the middle of the week. Bong, get a little lift there, amen. That's why devotions are important in the morning, that we get before God. But there is something about coming together. There is something about worshiping at one another's side that has the feeling of an army, that has the feeling of a family, that has the feeling of power, and that there is an impartation that happens from God to our spirit when we come into His presence and you start to see a new future. I don't care what future you have been seeing. If it's negative, change the picture today. Change the movie. Give your tickets back. Get out of that theater. Go and sit in the other movie and sit down there and start watching on the back of your mind, on the back of your forehead, a brand new movie about your future. You are healed. You are blessed. You are living in victory. You've got good friends around you. Your life has been transformed. This isn't about just playing games and imagining things. This is a scriptural principle. And then you prophesy. For he who says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will happen, he shall have whatever he says. Prophesy to your future. Create a different world for yourself. Worship in spirit and in truth. Let the power of the Spirit refuel you here today, and the Word of God energize that part of your life that's flagging. Your whole life might not be like that. There may be just areas where there's a drought. This morning, the power of the Holy Spirit falls on you. The Spirit of God, He gives life and He guides you into truth. And we need to know that the Word of God is coming from the Holy Spirit every time we come into His presence, and it will breathe faith into your life. Today, step out of your boat, whatever your comfort zone is, and say, I'm going to start believing God. And even though I might find it difficult to stop working, I'm going to listen to that fourth commandment. Not that we're living by the Old Testament or by the, but honestly, it's a really good principle that you could stop, refresh, and start again. And maybe there's an area of your life, a season of your life, not just a week, but you need to have a break from it. It's time to let it go and to move into a fresh new day. I believe that God can touch you wherever you are in this meeting and bring a whole new life, a whole new beginning into your world. The greatest beginning is, I mean, imagine what you'd do if you had another life, if you could get born again. Just think about that. Imagine if I could get born again. Jesus said that to a religious guy who went to church every week. He said, you must be born again.